So over the last couple of weeks, and this is like I think the first time in history we've ever done a multi-part like that, we have looked at the story of Rabbi Akiva's students as an opener to discussing why we have activities of mourning or abstentions during this period. We then last week we looked at some of the other explanations provided for why we have mourning during this period. We saw that it went all over the place. And bottom line, we don't know why we have no weddings, et cetera, during this time. But we know that that's a common practice. Again, the severity of the practice and the timing of the practice, when people do get married, et cetera, varies from community to community. But the more or less mainstream view is to attribute it to this story. And we identified the problems in connecting it with this story of Rabbi Akiva's students, because after all, I mean, we listed the problems. We also identified problems within the story itself. And so what I'd like to do today is to look at this story and this whole passage through the lens of other parallel passages in rabbinic literature. Two things to say from the outset. First of all, what you're looking at here in the Gemara is a collection of discussions and stories and halachot, etc., that represent hundreds of years of oral transmission and discussion and editing, etc. And it's finalized really in the 6th or 7th century in Babel. That's important to note because when you are studying rabbinic literature and you find what seems to be similar statements in other texts, and they start to look like they're versions of the same statement, you want to try to figure out how one thing sort of developed into the next. And that's what we're going to do. I just want to point out from the get-go that the shiur is, as you can see on top, is dedicated to a dear friend and teacher, Rabbi Chaim Abba, Rabbi Natan Aryeh. Professor Herbert Davidson, Zichro Livracha, was maybe the world expert on the philosophy of the Rambam in our day. A neighbor, a friend, member of our minyan for many years, and he passed away last week after being ill for quite a while. And we miss him very much, and the shiur is being given in not his memory, in honor of his memory. So we're familiar with the story here in Yevamot. Now we have to remember that in Yevamot, it starts out as an exegetical observation about a verse in Kohelet. The verse in Kohelet says that in the morning, plant, and in the evening, don't stop, because you don't know which one's going to turn out well. And if both, then that's great. Rabbi Yeshua interprets this as being about marriage and having kids. And we saw that. And that's why this is here, because this is riffing off of a Mishnah that gave the parameters of Purim, two boys or a boy and a girl. And Rabbi Yeshua is presented here as having a different opinion that says you should have lots of kids. Really, there's no limit because you don't know which ones are going to turn out okay. And then Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua's student, takes the same idea and transfers it from biological children to students. And then we hear the story, and the famous story. I'm not going to review the story. However, as you can see, this story is then added on to. The story is the story. And then we have another story added on that says that this whole plague happened between Pesach and Shavuot. It's not part of the original story. And then we have a later addition that says that these students all died a bad death. And then a later addition to that say, defining what the bad death is. So there's all sorts of layers in the story. So let's try to peel back the layers and see what's going on. What I'm bringing you here is three parallel midrashim. We have Breishit Rabbah, we have Kohelet Rabbah, and Midrash Tanchuma. Now, Breishit Rabbah was edited around the 4th century in Eretz Yisrael. Kohelet Rabbah is a couple hundred years later as far as its editing goes. And the Tanchuma was, I mean, the final editing of the Tanchuma is maybe 9th century. But it includes much earlier material. But when I say edited, that doesn't mean that the material was composed in. We have much, much, much older material that remained and was edited in. So we're going to see how that plays out. Now, where the pasuk that all of this revolves around is the pasuk on top. You see it, it's translated, it's the pasuk that we've already dealt with in Kohelet. Bereshit Rabbah, you got to wonder, what is this doing in Bereshit Rabbah? The answer is this is at the point where Avraham marries again. Sarah died, Avram buried Sarah, Avram got Yitzhak married, and then Avram marries again and has more kids. So the Midrash quotes this pasuk, and watch what happens. Remember, in our version, we have only two rabbis commenting on the pasuk, each of them with two applications that are related. Rabbi Yeshua says, you got married earlier, get married again, you have kids before, have more kids again. Rabbi Akiva said, you studied Torah before, study more Torah. And then if you had students before, have more students. In this Midrash, look what happens. Rabbi Eliezer for Rabbi Yeshua. So we're presented with two rabbis, only one of whom showed up in the Bavli, and that's Rabbi Yeshua. But Rabbi Eliezer, his colleague, Rabbi Eliezer is the senior, so he gets to speak first. His words come first. He says, if you planted early, plant late. Because you don't know which is going to work out. In other words, he reads the pasuk literally. It's about farming. If you plant early in the season, plant later in the season. You don't know which is going to work out. They both work out, that's fine. Now, remember what Rabbi Yeshua said in the Gemara about marriage? Here, Rabbi Yeshua says, if a poor man comes to you in the morning, give him tzedakah. And in the evening, we'll see this means a different poor man comes to you, give him tzedakah, because you don't know which one God's going to credit you with. In other words, maybe one of them is not a legitimate tzedakah recipient. And if they're both good, that's great. Then we have Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. So again, we have Rabbi Akiva, but his colleague is mentioned here. It was not in the Gemara. Rabbi Yishmael says, if you study Torah when you're young, study Torah when you're old, you don't know which will work for you. And Rabbi Akiva says, if you had students when you're young, have students when you're old. Okay? And then the Midrash tells the story. Now, in this version of the Midrash, it says, Shneimasar Elef Talmidim, which means 12,000 students, not 12,000 pairs of students. There is another version of this Midrash that has the word pairs in there. So if you look at the Midrash, you will see different versions, some that has 12,000 pairs, that's the number in the Gemara, and some that just says 12,000. And it tells the story, and the location is a little different. It's Akko on Antipras, right? And it doesn't say that they were not nohei kavod ze baze, but rather einehem tzara elu ba'elu, that they were kind of jealous of each other, and they kind of looked negatively at the other person's success. And in the end, they all died during one period. It doesn't say when the period is. And then he had seven students. Now, if you remember in the Bavli, it said he had five students afterwards. Here he had seven students, the same five and two more. And there's two versions of who the seven are. And then he said, the earlier students died because of the way they treated each other. Don't behave that way and remain. And the whole world was filled with Torah again. Very similar to what we have in the Bavli, except, of course, the addition of two other rabbis in the mix and a drasha about mitzvot and a madrasha about planting. Okay. Now, the same midrash shows up in Kohelet Rabbah. Kohelet Rabbah, why is it in Kohelet Rabbah? Because here it's interpreting the verse in Kohelet. And it's here because of the verse in Kohelet. And again, it's Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua at the beginning. And Rabbi Eliezer says, if you planted early, plant late. Same thing he says over here. Remember over here, Rabbi Yeshua said, if a poor man comes to you in the morning, here Rabbi Yeshua says, if you got married when you were young and she died, get married when you're older. If you have kids when you're young, have kids when you're older, which now is like Rabbi Yeshua in the Gemara, but not like Rabbi Yeshua in the other Midrash. And now we have Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, and they say the same thing. Rabbi Yishmael says, if you study Torah when you're young, study Torah when you're old. By the way, the email that I sent you guys beforehand has a synopsis of this. I'll show it to you in a minute. And now here it's interesting. We don't hear a story. We hear Rabbi Akiva talking, and he says, I had 12,000 students and they all died in my life between Pesach and Shavuot. And in the end, I had seven more. And he says who the seven are. And he says, I told them that the reason the other guys died was because of their attitude towards each other. Don't you be like that. Rather do the right thing, and they filled the whole world with Torah. Okay. Sounds similar. And now we look at the Midrash Tanchuma. Midrash Tanchuma is on Chaye Sarah. It's on, again, Abraham marrying again by Yosef Abraham. And it starts with our Pasuk. And Rabbi Eliezer says it's talking about seeds. He says it explicitly, Mizraim HaKatuv Medaber, meaning if you planted in the first rain season, plant in the second rain season, right? Rabbi Yeshua says, if in the morning you have a chance to do a mitzvah, plant that mitzvah. And if you have a chance to do a mitzvah in the evening, plant that one too, because you don't know which is going to work, which is going to count for your credit. And if they're both good, that's great. Now Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, if you had students when you're young, have students when you're old. Now watch how the story goes here. It's very different. If you had students when you're younger, have students when you're older. Don't stop having students. And there's a story about Rabbi Akiva who had, you see the numbers there in the yellow highlight? Remember, we were dealing with 24,000 or 12,000, right? Those are the two versions. How many students are there here? You guys see it? There's 300 students. 300 students. Very different number. All right? And now it says Rabbi Akiva had 300 students when he was young. This, by the way, does not fit the version of Rabbi Akiva's life that until he was 40, he was illiterate. This fits other midrashim, other agadot, that Rabbi Akiva was a student from the beginning of his life and spent his youth already learning and by now had students. And here we go. He had 300 students when he was young and they all died. And had he not had other students when we were older, there would be no student who would mention his name. Now, that's a very strange way to put it, but you have to keep in mind, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva is the star. He is the headliner. If you look at the Mishnah, you will find that Rabbi Akiva and his students are the mainstream of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Akiva is only mentioned because of these students. So he says Rabbi Akiva would have been forgotten if it weren't for the students that Rabbi Akiva had in his older age. Now, by the way, you notice what's missing in this story. It doesn't say that he taught 300 students, then they all died, then he said, I better start again, and he started again. He kept teaching students. And at some point, the students that he had from his younger years died, but he still had the other students, and they were the ones who were able to keep it around, right? And then Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, if you had a wife when you were young and she gave birth and she died, have another wife when you're older, right? And who do you learn that from? From Avraham, right? And good. So now if you look at that that synopsis, which I'm not ready to bring up because I'm going to show you two more sources yet, you'll see this is all laid out. But what you see here is the drashot keep kind of getting mixed and matched. Who said what? We have sort of the same sort of theme, but notice that in the Bavli, we've collapsed it to two rabbis, and it's all about getting married or having kids, or having students. Kids or students. Planting is not there. Mitzvot is not there. Okay. So what's happening? So I'm going to start by asking you this question. Is this all the same thing? Meaning, did Rabbi Akiva have 300 students? And they died, and then he went and had 12,000 students, and they died, and then he went 24,000 students, and they died. Is it two stories, is it three stories, or is it one story? What do you think? What do you think? And did the rabbis, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Ishmael, sit and have this discussion over here about the Pasuk, then they went here and had this discussion, and had a different discussion about the Pasuk, and then they had a third discussion, and Rabbi Yossi got involved here? How does it work? So I'm going to raise the stakes right now. What you're looking at here is Avot de Rabbi Natan. Avot de Rabbi Natan, which nobody can figure out why it's called Avot de Rabbi Natan, seems to be an expanded version of Masechet Avot. And it sort of follows the same scheme as Masechet Avot. As a matter of fact, it's very likely that this was the material that was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi when he was organizing and redacting Masachat Avot, what we call Pirkei Avot, which, according to Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, was the first of the Mishnayot, the first of the Masachot to be edited. In Avot Rabbi Natan has, again, a very expanded version of a lot of the lessons in Pirkei Avot. So here you find the following. Rabbi Dustoy Rabbi Yanai, who we haven't heard from yet in this whole mix, says, if you planted early in the first rain, plant in the second rain, because it might hail and destroy the first stuff, right? And if they both work, that's great. And then he says, if you planted in the first two, go and plant in the third rain, because blight might come and wipe out the first two. He's the only one to extend it to three steps. Rabbi Ishmael says, if you learn Torah when you're young, don't say, I'm not going to learn Torah when you're old. If you learn Torah when you were wealthy, don't sit there when you're poor and say, I already learned. If you learn Torah when you were full, don't say, I'm not going to learn Torah when I'm hungry, right? When you learn Torah when everything was comfortable, don't say that when things are uncomfortable, right? Because, and then he has a whole lesson about the value of doing things when they're difficult. It sounds like a far more expanded version. Now, Rabbi Akiva turns around, and this is Rabbi Akiva, who our popular vision is that he was illiterate till 40. He says, if you study Torah when you were young, study Torah when you're old. Don't say, I'm not going to study Torah when I'm old. And if they both work, then that's great. Rabbi Meir says, if you studied from one teacher, don't say that's enough. Go to other teachers. You don't know which one's going to work out. And everybody should study from four teachers like I did. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, he lists them here, right? And then Rabbi Yeshua then comes and says the thing about getting married and having kids, which again shows up. But there's another version of Rabbi Natan. We call it Rabbi Natan version B. On the synopsis, it's called ARNB, ARNA. And here you have the same thing going on, but it's Rabbi Eliezer who says, if you planted early, plant late. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, if you had students when you're young, have students when you're late. Again, no story about students dying. And then Rabbi Akiva continued and said, if a poor man comes to you when you're young, when in the morning, give him tzedakah, and also in the evening. And Rabbi Shimon Korcha says, not Rabbi Yeshua, Shimon Korcha says, if you got married when you're young and had kids and she died, go and have more kids with another wife. Now, what are we to make of all of this? We now have seen six versions of the same thing, which is interpreting the various interpretations of the same pasuk in Kohelet. In the first four versions that we saw, there was an addition, which was the story of Rabbi Akiva's students, and each one of those was different, in some cases, very different, including the numbers. What do we make of this? What do we do? So, if you look at that synopsis that I sent you, you can see that there is a certain constancy going on. Rabbi Yeshua, in most of the versions, is the one who says this pasuk is about having kids and getting married. Rabbi Akiva, in almost all, but not all, says it's about having students. So what is it that happened here? So I want to show you now two other sources that may have contributed to the event here, to the editing. First of all, we have a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi here in the Darim. It also shows up in Shvi'it with a slight variation. Rechunya Rabbi Yaakov bar Avun v'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman. So we have a story coming to Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman. Esrim v'arba buliyot hayu b'Yehuda. There were 24 evidently wagon loads or something of students. And they all died. They were all killed because they were taking vain oaths. Even though the words were true oaths, but they were vain oaths. They were useless oaths. And we have a pasuk in Shayal, Lashavi Keti et Bnechem. I have killed your sons for naught. So not for naught meaning for no purpose, but rather because of their violating Shuat Shav. And another story is Rabbi Lazar b'shem Rabbi Chanina Maaseh b'Esrim Kriyot. This is evidently 24 wagon loads of students or something, maybe the same. shel Beit Rebbe shenichnesu le'aber shana belod. They all came together to do the ibur shana, the intercalation of the year. V'nichasem bahen ayin ra'ah. Now, ayin ra'ah here seems to me that something bad about the way they looked at each other. U'meitu kulam v'perek echad. And they all died at one shot. Doesn't say when. And they actually did something as a result. They started doing intercalation in the Galil. The guys in the south are not. Now, by the way, you see two things going on here. You see, first of all, a disaster involving 24x, meaning 24 and a big number of students dying in Yehuda, which, if you think about it, is somewhat similar to our story, because in our story, Rabbi Kiva has 24,000 students.
Oh, I'm on my phone now. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, I'm gonna. This second.
Hello.
I got it on my phone.
Sorry, but okay, gotta mute people there. Okay. All right, and so there seems to be this history of these disasters involving 24 groups or something of students dying in Yehuda at one period. In one story, it's and they're both because of sins that they committed, and one of them is because of evidently the bad way that they looked at each other and their attitude towards each other. That's part one. That has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. That's Beit Rabbi. But take a look at this story, which is a very well-known story. The story in Masechet Ketubot. The context for this story is that the Mishnah is talking about how often a husband has to be intimate with his wife, the mitzvah of onah, and therefore when he's allowed to go take a vacation or go away to study or do something without her permission. And so part of the issue is being able to go away to study. And so the story is told about Rabbi Akiva. And here's the story. Rabbi Akiva is Ben Kalbua's son-in-law. He marries the girl. In one version, her name is Rachel, right? And she actually proposed to him, and she said, I want you to be Mekadesh to me, but I want you to go and study. So he had his permission. And he went and studied for, take a look at it, 12 years, right? We have a version that says that when he came back with 12,000 students. You see the number. He got near the house and he overheard some old guy talking to his wife and say, how long are you going to remain a living widow? There's allow your husband to study. It's weird timing. She said, if it were up to me, he would go back for another 12 years. So he said, oh, I have reshut. He went back for another 12 years. So he was gone for 12 years, and then he came with 12,000 students. He went back, and then he comes back. It's now 24 years, but it's not 24 years. It's 12,000 and 12,000, 12 years and 12 years, and he comes back with 24,000 students. And so you see that these numbers are part of the Rabbi Akiva story. 12 and 12, not just 24, and 12,000 students. This is part of the Rabbi Akiva story. There's another version of it here in Masachet Nedarim. What is going on here? So it seems that, let me just ask you this question, and you'll have to hit your thing if you want to speak. If you have a story, you have this midrash, where you have a few different opinions, and then another version of the midrash has fewer opinions. What has happened? Has the Midrash grown or been contracted? Don't answer yet, because I'll ask you a second question. If you have Midrash that is followed by a story, and in other versions, it's not followed by a story, what happened? Was the story cut out or was the story added on? What do you think? Now, let's hear what you have to say. What do you think?
To me, it would be logical that there's no logic. Either someone sometimes is added, sometimes it is replaced, sometimes it is reduced.
You tell me about the story. You tell me about the story. Would the story be something that there's a... Now remember, we're transmitting these things very loyally. So if there's a midrash that's followed with a story to illustrate the midrash, is it then going to get passed down and we're going to drop the story? or is it going to get passed down and keep the story? But if there's a Midrash that doesn't have the story, and now there's a story that can help illustrate the Midrash, is that going to be added on? Is the story added or dropped? What do you think?
I think it'd go either way.
No, okay, but we actually have a pretty good science about it.
Okay.
Almost assuredly, the story's added on. Because it was not the style of Balei HaMidrash to drop things like that. That's first of all. Because if you take a look at it, Avot Rabbi Natan, which is a very early text, it may be a first or second century text. And by the way, Avot Rabbi Natan does not have in it any names of Amoraim. So it's from the period of the Mishnah, no later. The Avot Rabbi Natan, in both of its versions, has interpretation about our Pasuk, no story, no mention of a story. And then what happens here in the Midrash? In the Midrash, we see, and I'm going to go with Tanhuma, and now I'll ask you this. In one version of the story, there's 300 students. In another version, there's 12,000 or 12,000 times two. What do you think happened? Do you think the number shrunk or the number grew?
Grew.
Almost assuredly grew. That's the way that these things happen. And so very likely what we have is originally we have this version in the Tanhuma, and then the story continues, and Bereishit Rabbah, which very clearly is, it's an Amoraic Midrash, it's later than Avot Rabbi Natan, and again, these all have the number 12,000 in them, right? So you have this number expanding to fit the model of the story of Rabbi Akiva that we had in the Gemara of the 12,000 students who came with him back to his house. What happens to the story now in its latest and final version? Not final version, these versions are still there, but in the version that is the latest in time, which is the Talmud Bavli, what happens? And we see that in the Talmud Bavli, it's latest, because things get explicitly added to the story in Bavel. They all died a terrible death. They died of croup. So what happens to the story here?
Why do they do that?
Why do they do what?
All this death of the different things in Babel.
Oh, good, good. So I'm going to get to that in a second. And so in here, it suddenly becomes, and in all the versions of the Talmud Babli, it's 12,000 pairs. It's not 24,000, it's not 12,000. It's 12,000 pairs. So what happened here is we have a story that starts out here as a story about, which is also terrible, 300 students that Rabbi Akiva had. We don't find that in this original story, Rabbi Akiva then replaces them, but rather he had 300 and he kept teaching, and then the 300 died, he still had more students left. As the story makes its way, there's a need to illustrate a very powerful position. And by the way, Rabbi Akiva's star continues to grow as being, like I said, the star of the Mishnah. Now, what happens by the time we get to the period of the Talmud Bavli? So two things happen. First of all, the story about Rabbi Akiva's years and students, 12,000, 12 years plus 12 years, suddenly becomes 12,000 pairs of students, fitting the model of Rabbi Akiva, the literary model. I know you're going to ask me a question. I'm going to answer that question in the next 30 seconds because I want to keep to the 1:30. But another thing that happens is when you tell a story like this, there's also an interest in getting details. Fine, they died because of the way they treated each other, but what does it say on the Totet? Right? And so there we get these details about them, and this is classic in Bavli development of stories, to go for the details that make it a real worldly thing. They died of this particular death. Your question is, fine, so bottom line, what actually happened? How many students were there? How did they die? When did they die? If you were to ask the author of the Bavli, the redactors of the Bavli, who put this together, the answer would very likely be, what's the difference? In other words, we have to remember that history, the way we think of it as an accurate retelling of information and facts, is a new discipline. It was not part of the ancient world. And the ancient world, history was much more of telling stories in order to impress certain events, impress certain values, impress certain causal relationships that happen. Far more significant in this story is the fact that A, Rabbi Akiva either learned from his experience and gave this advice, or else followed his own advice, depending which version you read, and continued to have students, and that's why there's still Torah around. that students died because of the way that they treated each other, that the teacher has to be careful that when he teaches his students, not just to give them the informational piece, but more importantly, to give them proper values so that they know how to behave, like proper tamim, and all of the other lessons that come out of here. That's what develops. So we start with a kernel, which is a verse in Kohelet and a few different possible applications. Because that's no longer critical, what happens to the interpretations? They get collapsed. So Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say one thing, he now says two things. Rabbi Akiva doesn't just say one thing, and Rabbi Yisrael said the other. It gets collapsed. Rabbi Akiva said these two things. Rabbi Yeshua said these two things. Am I concerned with which one was actually from Rabbi Yeshua and which one was from Rabbi Eliezer? I'm not concerned. Is my concern whether Rabbi Akiva said the thing about studying and teaching or just about studying, said just about teaching? I'm not concerned. I'm concerned with the final result that I get. I'm concerned with the tremendous lessons that I get from this story. So hopefully we've gotten a better handle on this story and how it developed, and reaching far back and seeing that the motif that we have in the stories of Rabbi Akiva with the 12,000 students and the 12 years and the 12 years helps to kind of round out the picture for us and give us a better sense.
I don't see how you can say, therefore, it grows.